that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If any one of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about men. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or the present or the future. All are yours, and you're of Christ. And Christ is of God. God will bless that reading of his word to us. Last week, I shared with you wisdom, the wisdom of God. And I'm sorry I haven't uploaded it to the internet yet. I will be doing that because I believe it's an important message, and today follows on from that, because Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And I shared about that last week and ended with, but we have the mind of Christ. But today, as I was wondering what was it that God wanted me to follow on from, we have this, and my text is verse 16, and don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? One of the things that we have to understand, and I believe that we need to recognize the importance of the Old Testament scriptures that really give us a picture of the way in which God loved his people. And the importance in the Old Testament was the holiness of God. And, you know, in these days, I'm not sure that we understand what that means, that God is holy. I tend to think that very often we have this picture of God, and it's a false picture. But the reality is that the Bible, in the Old Testament and right the way through the Scriptures, teach us that God is holy. And because he is holy, we have to respect, we have to come to that place of fear. The Scripture says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's not to be terrified, but it's that homage, that respect, that recognition that God is without sin, and that God is over all, that God is all powerful. God dealt with his people. If you go right back to Genesis, we realize that when God created the world, the universe, God created man and woman, and he set them in a garden, and we come to that situation where God gave instructions that everything was okay except for one thing. And we know that what happened there in that garden, Adam and Eve did exactly the opposite of what God had told them. When God appeared in the garden to them, they tried to cover themselves, they tried to hide, because they recognized that they had done wrong. And as a result of that, sin has been passed on right down through the generations to the children of Adam and Eve and right the way down through the ages. And sin had to be dealt with. And when God gave instructions to Moses as he instructed them and prepared them for leaving Egypt, they had to prepare themselves. And then when they were wandering through the wilderness, God gave instructions to Moses to build a tabernacle. And that tabernacle was a reminder of God's presence. And so they moved. They had a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. So when that moved, they had to move, and they had the tabernacle. And the innermost part of the tabernacle was where God dwelt, as it were. There, although God is everywhere, that was the place, that was the focus of the worship. And the only person who could enter that holiest place was the high priest. And he couldn't come every day. He could only come once a year. And not without, first of all, offering a sacrifice for himself and for the sins of the people. And then he had that interaction with God. But before God had given that, the holiness of God, when God came down and gave Moses the commandments, the people couldn't look at that because of the Shekinah glory, the glory of God. Moses had been with God and he shone. And you know, then when they had traveled and they were on their way into the promised land, and they entered, and when it came to David wanted to build a temple for God. He wanted to have a permanent reminder of God's presence and wanted a place that would be a place of worship. And God said to David, no. David had sinned and God had forgiven him, but no, you are not going to build that temple. But he gave Solomon the instructions to build the temple, and the temple was built. And you can read all about it in the Old Testament. Again, the temple was the focus of worship in Jerusalem. And the temple, there were times when the people turned away from God, and he forced them into exile. You find the rebuilding of the temple, you find the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem as the people turned back to God and God blessed them. But a reminder that God was holy, if you follow the way in which they moved in the tabernacle, the holiness of God was something that had to be respected. When God spoke to Moses through the burning bush, he said, take your shoes from off your feet, because the place where you are standing is holy ground. And so there is that recognition that God is one who has to be approached with reverence and respect. And so right the way through the Old Testament, we recognize that there were those, only the high priest had that opportunity to come into the very presence of Almighty God. Once a year. But when Jesus came, when Jesus died on that cross, the Bible tells us that the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. And what that describes is that the way was open. Because of his death on the cross, because of the sacrifice of himself, then it was made possible for all people who believe to enter into the holiest of all, to have a relationship with God, not just once a year, but it was open. There were no more hindrances. The people had to be kept outside. It was only the high priest who could enter into the holiest of all. And now, because of what Jesus has done, we have access to God through Jesus, through that new and living way that has been opened for us. We need to understand the Old Testament. We need to understand how God dealt with his people through the Old Testament, to understand something of what the Apostle Paul is trying to share here in his letter to the Corinthian church. You know, the Corinthian church was in a very bad way. I was reading somebody's comments on this, and they said, you know, If I wanted to be a member of the church, I wouldn't have wanted to be a member of the Corinthian church. It was full of bad stuff. And Paul's letter is correcting, bringing them back to the reality and to help them to correct those things that were wrong in the church. It was a letter that God gave to Paul, the words that he gave to Paul to help them to come back. The problem was in the church that they were following different groups of people, and they were claiming to be followers of Paul, followers of Apollos. And Paul said, I'm coming to you, but I want to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And so as he comes to this place and comes to help the church at Corinth to begin to understand that Jesus has to be the one who is the focus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. We can't enter into the presence of God without knowing Jesus, without coming through Jesus, who is the high priest. The high priest in the Old Testament was flawed. He was a sinner. And yet he was able to come. But now Jesus is our great high priest, who has opened the way for us to enter into the holiest of all. Now that's thrilling in itself, that we can approach God because of what Jesus has done for us, because of the sacrifice. The Old Testament talked about a sacrifice. The Passover reminded us of the lamb that was killed in order for the children of Israel to remain safe, that their homes would be saved and their families would be saved if that blood was over the lintel of the two side posts, and therefore they were able to escape Egypt when the angel of death came over Egypt. We have access to God through Jesus. He is the one through whom we come. As I say, the Corinthian church was in a bad way, and the Apostle Paul had to bring them back to help them to understand that Jesus must be the focus, because Jesus is the one who has made it possible. And if we go previous to our readings in verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it, but each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. You see, the focus always is on Jesus, and here he is saying, you know, what I've shared with you, the relationship that you can have with God has to come through Jesus. He is the foundation. A house needs foundation and needs a good foundation. And Jesus talked about that. He said about the wise and foolish builders. And so he is trying to get them to understand this picture of a building and the foundation being Jesus Christ. He should be the foundation of our lives when we come to faith in him. He is the one on whom we build. And then he goes on to describe, if any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. I remember as a teenager doing a Bible study on this, and I remember thinking about it and wondering, what does this really mean as the Apostle Paul is sharing about building, about wood, hay, and stubble, gold, silver, and precious stones? What is it that we are building our life with? What is it that we're building upon? And he says, well, you know, it's going to be tested. And it will be revealed with fire. What happens with fire? Well, what does the Apostle Paul say? The fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. You see, what he's saying is that this is important, that we need to recognize that what we do, we need to do for God. We need to do for him. The wood, hay, and stubble are those things that are going to be burned up. Those things that are worthless. And sometimes it may be some things that we do for ourselves that is very selfish. If we think that we're going to gain access, we're going to be improved, and we are building, be careful what you build, how you're building your life. It's important for us to realize that we need to be, the things that we need to be proving is the gold, silver, and precious stone. Because what happens when fire is applied to those? They are refined. They are purified. The amazing thing that we need to, the concept that we need to have is that because of Jesus, because he died on that cross, he offered himself as a sacrifice for our sins. He died for us, that we might have access to God. That we might, as Jesus said to his disciples, when he prays, say this, "Our Father." We have a relationship with God as our Father. We can come into a close relationship with God. And if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. In our lives today, we get tangled up in all kinds of things that are necessary, but sometimes it's so easy to forget about God. This past weekend has been a weekend which is quite an eventful weekend for the nursing home in Barrie, that there are three ladies who are celebrating their 100th birthday. We have a number of people who have already done that, but one of the ladies, I was invited to go to her celebration last night with her family, and she is a lovely believer, and her request meal was that her granddaughter sings "Abide With Me." Focus for her, she knows God. And so her granddaughter sang "Abide With Me." That was before anything else, before grace was said, before any food was served. She wanted to remind me who was the focus, that God was her focus, that she had been involved in so many things in her life that have benefited others. 10 children, yet she had time to volunteer in all kinds of ways. She helped new immigrants. She helped, the list of things that she had done is just amazing. But what to me is the most important, she asked me to go to pray. And what a blessing that was to just be there. Thank God for her life and the impact that she has made on so many. Always working for the less advantaged, not taking advantage of anything, but serving humbly. Not one to brag. There was a picture there. I looked at the pictures, and there was a picture of her shaking hands with the Queen. But what I'm saying is what we build our lives upon. She has built her life upon her faith, upon Jesus. And that's where we need to build our lives on him. He is the one who helps us to come into a relationship with God. Now I want us to think about the temple, the place where God is. And you think in terms of the Old Testament that the high priest could only enter that once a year. And yet here the Apostle Paul is saying something so amazing that it's so hard to take in, but it's something that we need to grasp and be encouraged by. And that is that he says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? David wasn't allowed to build a temple because of his sin. David prepared and got all the materials ready for the temple to be built by Solomon. But here, this is the place that God, you yourselves are God's temple. Not man's temple, not Solomon's temple, not Herod's temple. You yourselves, he's coming back to the believers in Corinth. Don't you know, don't you realize that you are God's temple? This is something that they needed to understand at the beginning of his letter. That God had come down to earth and now he was making his presence known in a very real way, not in the temple in Jerusalem. That veil had been broken, that veil had been opened, and the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed AD 70 or thereabouts. No, this is we, you and I, are God's temple, his dwelling place. You need to get this. The Old Testament people could only come, they could only enter into the courts, but because of Jesus and what he has accomplished on the cross, because of his sacrifice, now he comes to live in us. Now remember, God is holy. How can God come and live in us? How can we become his temple? We become his temple because we are made clean by the blood of Christ. Because we are made holy through what he has done on the cross. And we need to come to that place of recognition. And this is what was needed in the Corinthian church. They needed to realize that they needed to be holy. They needed to recognize that they were going to be, and they were, the temple of the living God. God is living, and he says, you are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you. So God is not remote. He isn't somebody that can only approach one day in a year. Now he comes right into us by his Spirit. I'm not sure whether we can grasp this, but it is something that we need to grasp. It'll make a big difference in the way in which we see things when we grasp the truth and reality of this. To mean to be God's temple means that he comes to live with us and in us, and he makes us holy. Now, understand that when we come to understand that, we need to realize that we continually need to come, as the Apostle John says in his letter, if you confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Realizing that Christ, that we are his temple, we need to keep it clean. The old ways, the way in which the people of old had to, by the law, they had to be careful in the things that they did. They weren't to touch certain things because that would make them, that would cause them to be dirty and unclean. And we need to understand that. That when we are the temple of the living God, God makes us holy. And so whatever we do, wherever we go, we are taking him with us. But I don't want to suggest that the reality of this is something that we need to be frightened about or concerned about. It's something that should thrill us, that we can know that we have become the temple of God, God's temple, and His Spirit lives within us. You see, the church at Corinth needed cleaning up. And there was that realization that Paul was bringing to them, that because of what Jesus has done on the cross, that they were holy, that God's Spirit was living with them. Therefore, he's saying something else. If we are the temple of the living God, then don't be surprised. Verse 17 says, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. What a thought. It is something that is so amazing that God wants to make his dwelling with us. And that if anybody comes against us, they're coming against God. The reality of that was known by each one who has been a martyr for God. We have the scriptures in our language because people were prepared to die for their faith, that Jesus Christ be God. Died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. You see, if God be for us, who can be against us? God Almighty makes his presence in us. And in a way, in the same way that he has made his presence in us, we become his temple, then the outworking of that will become evident to others. As when Moses came down after meeting with God, his face gleamed because he had been in the presence of God. So in a way, if we come to understand that and let that sink into our heads, we are the temple of God. We are God's dwelling place. He now makes his presence known to us. He makes his presence his. He is with us. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so by his Spirit, he is with us. We are his temple, and we are sacred. We are holy. That's why earlier on in the previous chapter, Paul was able to say about the Spirit of God. He was trying to teach them about wisdom. And he said that we have the mind of Christ. You see, we need to be open to God and allow him to fill us with his Spirit. We need to be in that place where we recognize that he is holy. And we need to recognize how blessed we are to have his presence with us. Oh, that we might glow with his presence. And that might mean that we are persecuted because of our faith, because people don't like to be confronted with truth. And sometimes we have to speak truth that will cause upset and disturbance. But listen, I want you to go away from today just being encouraged. And know, think in terms of the temple in the Old Testament times, when Only once a year did the high priest have access, but now God makes his dwelling with us. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. His disciples, while Jesus was here on earth, they had his presence with them when he was with them. But from Pentecost on, the believers were filled with the Holy Spirit, became the temple of God. The dwelling place of God is with men. He is with us. It is from this foundation that Paul continues with his letter, bringing them back to Christ, the wisdom of God, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Christ, who has opened the way for us, the Lamb of God's providing, the sacrifice that was once for all time. Now, we become the temple of God. What a powerful thought. What a challenging thought, isn't it? You know, we're living in a dark world. We left home this morning and we came to a diversion off the highway. And there was a bridge. And there was yellow tape on the bridge. And I said, maybe. I reckon somebody jumped off that bridge. We were able to join the highway a bit later on. We're living in a day of darkness. The light of God has shined into our hearts, and his light needs to shine. People need to know that they can have this relationship with God, that they can know him living with them. I wish I'd written down the note that I read this morning before I left, which was something which was very appropriate to hear. It's being open to God, allowing him to have his way. You know, we are very selfish and we want our own way. But the best to have our way is to come God's way. Learn what he wants. We're living in days when people have their minds so many things. TV, you sometimes switch on the TV, you wonder, is it a good program on? How many channels do you have a choice of? It's so sad. But come back to the scriptures. Come back to the good news. You yourselves, says Paul, are God's temple. And God's Spirit lives in you. He's not out there. When we come to faith in him, when we invite him into our lives, you know, I go back to my childhood. And as a child, when I went to visit my sister in February, she reminded me, and what a chill came down me as she said, do you remember that afternoon when we both invited Christ into our lives? What a day that was. I was only a child, but I know the difference it made in my life. Didn't mean I was always a good boy after that. I needed to be cleaned up as well. I've not always done what is right. Thank God he is one who says, I will remember your iniquities no more. You see, he cleans us out so that he can live with us. He can be in us. Wow. I sometimes, to demonstrate this, bring my puppet and I show you that a puppet is dead unless the hand is inside. But we're not to be puppets of God. We are submitting. The puppet doesn't have a say as to whether the hand will move it or not. But we do have a say as to whether we want God to move us. Sometimes we object, sometimes we put blocks in the way. But be amazed and wonder. Just have some time, sometime this afternoon, just stop and think about what this means. You and I are God's temple, and God's Spirit lives in you. As I said as a child, I remember saying, there was a chorus that we sang, and we said, "Into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus." And I know He did that. No, day by day I need to be cleansed. Day by day I need to experience His presence with me. And you know, He will direct us. He will give us His wisdom. His love will flow through us. Love so amazing. So divine. What wondrous love is this? Be blessed and encouraged as you think upon those things. We sing together now, 569, God of Grace and God of Glory. Apologize for the Welsh tea. Lord, we thank You for what You teach us in Your Word. Help us to understand what it means to be Your temple, for Your Spirit to live in us. Encourage us and help us to go into this week confident, knowing that you are with us, knowing that we can know your power in our lives, knowing the difference that you have made. Let your love be shared among us, and let your love flow through us into other people's lives. May people see that we are your temple, that we belong to you. Help us then to bring you glory in all that we do. Forgive us for those times when we failed. We thank you that you cleanse us. So we pray that each of us might know the blessing of God, Almighty Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and always. Amen.